In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
They've raised the bar on Rochester Sports Talk. You're in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
A little peek behind the curtain is a true story. Last night, I'm settling down in the basement. I've got a little tumbler of brown liquid firing up my computer. Get to the draft room on Yahoo. And then just moments before the draft is set to get underway, as is annual tradition, our next guest shows up and tells me why I'm in a good spot picking at number 5. And I'm like, Andy, I want to believe I'm in a good spot. Buddy, tell me I'm in a good spot at 5, because I feel like I could still screw it up even though I'm in a good spot at 5. We welcome in Andy Behrens from Yahoo Fantasy back into the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Andy, how's your summer been?
Oh, it's great. I want you to know, first of all, that those videos are crafted for you personally. Mm-hmm. That's not something that everybody saw. That was just for you.
Thank you.
I know the user base very well, and I record, you know, zillions of individual videos.
Andy, there are so many questions we could ask you here, but you were kind of curious about the Bills receiver position.
If we could start here, and this has been my take all role, and I know there might be a little bit of a flaw in my logic here, but Khalil Shakir, if you took the last 7 games last year, and why I say 7, that's when they made the offensive coordinator switch. They win 6 games in a row to finish out the season. The one loss was that crazy loss in Philadelphia where they put up some points. If you took those numbers and you put that across an entire season, well, Shakir is, you know, top 10 in some categories, top 15. He looks like a number one receiver. And I'm saying, well, if he can hold up, why not? Why wouldn't he be the guy that Josh Allen would kind of rely on? But you're the expert. How would you kind of view what you see here on the Buffalo Bills receiving corps?
Well, the first thing I'll say is that I think it's actually one of the most interesting receiving corps in the league, certainly for fantasy, obviously, because we're talking about a group of receivers that's tied to, you know, the overall QB1. So right there, we care about it. The thing that I find most interesting is that everybody's a slot receiver, right? And the math doesn't work for that, right? Like, Shakir, slot receiver. Dalton Kincaid, fundamentally a slot receiver. He's kind of one of those tight end and name only guys. He's not burdened with any of the traditional tight end responsibilities. Curtis Samuel is a slot receiver. My colleague Matt Harmon has made a very convincing argument to me that someone with Keon Coleman's exact profile,
yes,
is best used as a big slot. That's
yes.
Clearly not going to happen.
Yes.
But I love Keon Coleman. Like, he has been an absolute delight. And if there's one guy who's not a Bear who I am rooting for to be a star, it is Keon Coleman. He is an absolute delight. Love everything that he says. Love the energy. Love it all. They're all slot receivers, right? You can only have 2 on the field at one time. So it's a weird receiving core. It is a weird collection of receivers. But as you guys know, there's like 240 vacated targets in Buffalo, and they're Josh Allen targets. We really care about that. The guys that I have actually been drafting, to some extent, the Curtis Samuel injury settled this. Shakir, you already named. Shakir is somebody who, you'd like to see somebody who's that efficient. We really care if they can do it on 100 targets, not like relatively low volume like you saw last year, but I am a believer. Again, it's probably got to come in the same way that he was used last year and from the same spots on the field. he was not a downfield target for them, right? Very low ADOT, except that he was terrific after the catch. Like, great player. I think that Khalil Shakir, I might get the numbers wrong here, but I want to say that among all wide receivers who saw at least like 40 targets last year, he had the highest passer rating when targeted in the league, which, you know, so that's a pretty impressive sample.
Yeah, he doesn't drop the ball. That's
at all. You know, at all. Yeah, hands, yeah. Yeah. And a huge yards after catch guy too. So like the yardage and the targets really didn't sync for what like his role was, right? It was over 600 yards on a relatively low target total. Kincaid is the guy that I have probably drafted the most. And I think that's the one place where we really have, like, first of all, he's so easy to pair with Josh Allen in fantasy drafts, right? You can take Josh Allen in the third, maybe not in drafts in your area,
yeah, right.
But in the rest of the world, you can take him in the third round. And then you get Kincaid like three rounds later. And I think there's a non-trivial chance that Dalton Kincaid leads all tight ends in targets and catches this year. I think that is very much in play given the sort of volume that is available to that receiving room.
So let's talk a little bit about that since you brought up Kincaid. It feels this year that tight end is a lot deeper than it's been in years past. It always, I mean, we're dating ourselves talking about, you know, when it was Gronk and Kelsey, and then Gronk fades away, and it's Kelsey, and it's Kelsey and Andrews. And now it feels like you can go pretty deep into tight end and still find production. And it starts with your guy there in LaPorta in Detroit.
Well, if you want to talk about dating yourself, I'm about to do it. I think the tight end position this year is so interesting. And one of the most interesting things about it is that, you know, we're in this like transitional year because Travis Kelce turns 35 this season. We saw a little bit last year of, you know, I don't want to call it complacency, but we saw a little bit of that thing that teams do and great players do when they're in the middle of a season and they know they're going to be there at the end, where like there's just a little rust in the middle of the season. Like, it wasn't all pretty for Travis Kelce in the middle of the year. And then of course he was great when they needed him. And I think at age 35, we may be coming to a point in his career where the seasons are good, but they're not like transcendent. They're not like, you know, shattering the expectations for the position kind of good. I think we might be getting there, which means it's wide open. And it's not just like, it's not just Sam LaPorta. It's, in my view, it's obviously you have Mark Andrews there, you have George Kittle there, but you've got Dalton Kincaid, an incredibly interesting player in a great situation. You've got Kyle Pitts that we're kind of still waiting on. Like, you can make an argument for Trey McBride was fantastic last year. So you can make an argument for any of like six or seven guys. You can kind of squint a little bit and see the path to them finishing as the tight end one. And the crazy thing is, historically, like, we can take this back 60 years. You look at the history of the position, there's always one dominant receiving tight end. Before Kelce, it was Gronk. Before Gronk, we had Antonio Gates, we had Tony Gonzalez. Yeah. We had, Ben Coates before that for like a 3 or 4 year run. You can, like, Todd Christensen, Kellen Winslow. You can take this back to Ditka, right? There is always one guy who is just destroying the rest of the tight ends in terms of receiving production. And I feel like the changing nature of the game is addressing this. Like, I mentioned the fact that Dalton Kincaid, I don't even mean this as slander, because this is, a lot of teams do this. It's the same situation with like Mark Andrews. We aren't asking these guys to pass block, right? Like, if we're dropping back, they are running a route. It's just not exactly the traditional tight end position that they're playing. You know, Kittle's a bit of an exception because they run behind him a lot. The Lions were running behind Sam LaPorta a lot, but for the most part, these guys are just really big slot receivers. and that's created more opportunity for more tight ends to have the kind of volume that you need to finish as the tight end one overall.
Let me ask you a follow-up on the tight end just quickly, Andy, because we're talking about Dalton Kincaid, or you're talking about a Mark Andrews. With these teams that like to run the 12 personnel and you have a Dawson Knox or an Isaiah Likely, does that give you pause before selecting one of these guys as you're drafting?
No, well, especially with Andrews, because we've seen over many years now, we've seen the rapport between Andrews and Jackson. Andrews already has a 1,300-yard season to his credit, so we know that if he's like healthy, fully functional, in an offense that is passing more than they have in Baltimore in a while, like, he's in a great situation. But I love that you hit on Isaiah Likely, because the key thing with Isaiah Likely, and that's just a great name to file away as like a final round pick in fantasy drafts. I wouldn't even normally tell people to draft like a second tight end, but Likely is someone who if anything happens to Andrews, not hoping it does, but if anything happens to Andrews and he can't play, we have already seen Isaiah Likely put up exactly Mark Andrews numbers. Like, he was, you know, final six games last year, he scored 5 touchdowns, over 300 receiving yards. It was one of those stretches where, like, if you prorate it, he's a top 3 fantasy tight end. That could be him. Like, if he falls into the right workload, he is an absolute set it and forget it tight end 1, no question about it. Knox isn't exactly that same way, but he's such a, you know, he's such a circle of trust player for Josh Allen. I think he's going to be, I know I already touted Dalton Kincaid, but I do think Knox is going to be a pretty significant nuisance to Dalton Kincaid managers, right? Because there's such rapport between Knox and Allen. It's pretty easy to see how Dawson Knox can finish again with like 6-7 touchdowns.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. 3-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Andy Behrens, Yahoo Fantasy, is our guest. Andy, we'll ask you about the rookie quarterbacks, but I want to ask you about another rookie, one that Yahoo has ranked 17th overall. How do you come down? Where do you come down on Marvin Harrison Jr.? We're a little more in tune here because Arizona comes up to Buffalo week 1, and I could see this actually kind of going poorly for the Buffalo Bills secondary, but trusting a rookie with a late first round, early second round pick, what's your opinion on Marvin Harrison Jr.?
Well, first of all, like, how many, you know, this basically started in 2014, the season in which, you know, Mike Evans broke out and Odell Beckham broke out. Like, it's pretty routine now for one or more rookies to be not just fantasy relevant, but oftentimes among the most important and most impactful fantasy players in the game. And that, you know, you think of Ja'Marr Chase's first season and Justin Jefferson's first season. And you just have to ask yourself whether you think Marvin Harrison Jr. is that kind of talent. And I thought Harrison Jr., I thought Odunze and Neighbors were almost flawless receiving prospects. And if they just landed in situations where we trusted the quarterback and the volume was a near certainty, like, Marvin Harrison Jr. is pretty clearly going to finish as like a top 15 fantasy receiver. I don't know exactly where he comes in, but there wasn't, I will say he struggled a little bit against Notre Dame and they had a good secondary, but like there's no other, like, he faced all of the best defenses in college football basically. And he thrived in all the situations. Great against Michigan, just a great, great player. He's got size, got speed, he's got it all. And we think he's stepping into a situation in which he's going to see 130 plus targets. So it's really, if you do projecting, and you do that projecting based on what you think the offense is going to be as a whole and where you think the targets are going to go, it's just really difficult not to give Marvin Harrison Jr. like 1,200 or 1,300 yards in a healthy season. So that's why he comes in there. Now, I would understand anybody who looks at like Mike Evans and Marvin Harrison Jr. next to each other, and they're like, man, Mike Evans just gave me, 13 touchdowns and 1,200 yards, and he does it every year. Fine, take him. But I do think Harrison Jr. belongs in that conversation.
Hey, along those lines, Andy, and I know the preseason is you don't ever really want to overreact to anything in the preseason, but you do see moments in the preseason.
Bears fans do. I'm going to interrupt you right there and tell you that Bears fans, are willing to overreact.
I know, and I'm kind of smitten with our guy. I mean, it's an undefeated preseason, and again, Caleb looked good when he was out there. I was actually going to ask about the Bears' opponent last night in the preseason. We didn't get to see Patrick Mahomes and Xavier Worthy, but we did see them in week 3 of the preseason connect on a deep pass where Worthy looked like there wasn't somebody around him for 5 yards. He looked so wide open.
Yeah.
And of course, here in Western New York, everybody is looking at that guy as, oh, that's the guy that we traded to the Chiefs, and we're going to have to live with this pain moving forward. Does Worthy have that same kind of clout to you in that offense? Is somebody that looks for offenses that you want to invest in, and Chiefs certainly be one of those offenses, is Worthy worth that pick in the middle rounds?
I don't think there's any question that he's worth a pick. The problem for Worthy is going to be, you know, when Hollywood Brown is back. When Hollywood Brown is back, they may serve a little bit of the same purpose. I do think that Worthy is going to have some splash plays. For a guy who seems like he'd be just the perfect vertical threat, he wasn't always that in college, but he is obviously a burner. He is one of the fastest men in the league. We've certainly seen him get open with ease in the preseason. We know that he's tied to a quarterback who will 100% of the time find you if you get open deep. So that's not a worry. So it's, yeah, I mean, we're drafting Xavier Worthy for the same reason that we're going to be taking flyers on like the Chiefs number 3 and 4 receivers for the next 12 or 15 years. I mean, they're just tied to the right quarterback. It is a much better receiving core this year. And that's not just about the Worthy pick. That's, you know, assuming that Rashee Rice is a terrible assumption, but maybe not suspended this year. If that doesn't happen, if that waits until 2025 and they've got him all year and they've got Kelsey, and now you add Hollywood Brown to that, if he gets healthy, like that is a much more dangerous receiving core than what they had last year. So you can, you know, it's hard for me to, you know, I just talked about how it's very difficult to project Marvin Harrison Jr. for less than 1,200 yards. It's really difficult to project Patrick Mahomes for less than like 4,800 passing yards this season.
Yeah, Andy, we ask you this question every year because teams that will have good offenses, if you can kind of get a piece of one of those, we certainly know the Chiefs, we can pencil in the Lions. Who else would be on that list?
Yeah, the Texans are clearly on that list, and they would not have been at the start of last year, right? You might have been running away from the Chiefs or from the Texans. But everything we saw from C.J. Stroud, the fact that they had Diggs, whatever Diggs has left, and that's a discussion, right? Like you guys saw up close and personal, you saw his back half last year went great. But he's still better than most starting NFL receivers. And then they had Joe Mixon. Like they're pretty loaded. Like that's pretty clearly a team that can challenge for like 28, 30 points per game. They might be the most interesting. Green Bay is in that discussion, but Green Bay is one of those teams that has such a, they're, that is, as a Bears fan, super annoying to me, but they probably have the deepest receiving core in the league, right? Like you can go guys deep, not even the tight ends, and I would trust any of them on the field for my football team. Dontavian Wicks looked great. Bo Melton looked great. And, you know, like they go so deep. And then they got two good tight ends too. The problem with the Packers is the only safe way to invest in that receiving core is to actually just get Jordan Love. You know, I can make an argument for you that Christian Watson, given his healthy camp, healthy preseason, that's all a really good sign. If anybody breaks out, it's probably him. But Jordan Love is the safest way to invest there.
Andy Behrens, Yahoo Fantasy, is our guest here in the Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia. All right, so we knew that Caleb was going to start week one for the Bears. We learned this week that Jaden Daniels is going to start in Washington. We learned that Bo Nix is going to start in Denver. Talk to us about how you're dealing with these rookie quarterbacks, and certainly Daniels and Williams have a different element at play than most rookie quarterbacks. And are you treating Anthony Richardson as if he's a rookie quarterback, knowing that in his second season here, we could actually see him develop into what we thought he would be last year, or what he's on his way to being last year?
Oh, man, there's so much there. That's such a loaded question. The first thing I'll say is that I've got Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels ranked back-to-back, and I consider them both very strong candidates to finish inside the top 10 at the position this year. Daniels, the case is easy, right? He's a proactive rushing quarterback, and that is a trait that we look for. Like it would not, if Daniels just remains healthy all season, it would be no surprise if he rushes for like 650, 750 yards. That's a huge advantage. So he's obviously in the fantasy conversation. With Williams, we've just never seen a quarterback, or almost never seen a quarterback drafted first overall, who steps into like a turnkey situation like this, where you've got, you know, two great veteran receivers, one exciting rookie receiver, two good tight ends, one of the best receiving backs in the league, an ascending offensive line. Like everything is set, and he's passed the eye test in the preseason too. So we like Caleb. I will say about Bo Nix that what a comfort it must be to like an NFL front office and a fan base when the rookie first round quarterback just comes out and wins the job, which is exactly what's happened there, right? Like I'm not going to say that I was super excited about Bo Nix coming into the season, but and again, his competition wasn't stiff. It was Zach Wilson, it was Jarrett Stidham, But man, he looked good. He completed, I want to say it was 23 of 30 passes, some of them downfield too, not all the usual Bo Nix stuff. He's got some rushing upside. So he's like, if you're in a super flex league, you're in a two quarterback league, I think Bo Nix is pretty interesting. And then the last guy you ask about, Anthony Richardson, he's a little wild because he's almost gotten overdrafted at this point, right? There's so many people planting flags on Anthony Richardson as like the potential QB1 overall, which I agree with. Like, you can see the path. He could give us a huge rushing total. He could certainly be one of those guys who gives us like a dozen rushing touchdowns. He has serious Cam Newton vibes. There's just other people in that conversation as well. I can't give you a convincing argument that he should be drafted in a different area of you know your standard fantasy draft than like Kyler Murray. I mean, I think Kyler Murray, the argument is the same. It's a great receiving core. He's a great rushing threat. And like we like everything about the coaching environment, the team context. So I think Anthony Richardson is in that conversation. But like you saw the whole, I don't know if you saw any of that preseason game last night. That was the whole roller coaster ride that we might get with Richardson, right? He threw touchdowns to each team, which, you know, not great. But the receiving core is good, and he's got rare rushing ability.
Yeah, I love Washington for the fact that, okay, that stink of the previous ownership is gone. Everything is kind of new and shiny here. We get this report today, and I have Brandon Ayuk fatigue here. I think we all do. Like, I wish he would just pick a place and, you know, be done with it here. But, like, how would you evaluate Ayuk depending on where he ends up? I think we're still assuming he's going to be week one with the Niners. Right, Andy?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I would handicap that as the most likely scenario, but you have, you know, pre-existing rapport between Jaden Daniels and Brandon Ayuk. They clearly, you know, they cleared a spot. Like they do not have a dangerous number two receiver right now, or, you know, I think the world of Terry McLaurin. I think he's a really good player, but like their number two receiver right now is De'Ami Brown, who, you know, fine. Interesting deep threat, not somebody that we want to be feeding 90 targets to, 100 targets to. So there is there's just a spot waiting for Brandon Ayuk, and they add a third round pick, which theoretically that, you know, is more draft capital to throw at a trade. So I feel like that, you know, they're the most likely destination for him. It's probably what Ayuk himself would want, all things being equal. So we'll see. I've still got kind of a placeholder rank on Brandon Ayuk. I mean, I think he's great. And I wouldn't mind seeing him go to an environment where he's going to get more than, you know, I think you'd pencil him in San Francisco for like 100 targets, low passing volume, high efficiency. He could go to Washington and he could emerge as the number one by midseason, you know, and finish the year with like 125, 135 targets. That's not a bad place.
Andy, it's not lost on this fantasy player and broadcaster that you not only get the custom version of Andy Behrens telling you how great your pick is when you go into the draft, everything feels fresh and new with Yahoo this year for fantasy football. The app feels like it's redesigned. It looks different. It pops a little bit. Talk a little bit about what you guys have been working on and, of course, how we can get more of your work here through the season because it's valuable and we love it.
Oh, appreciate that. Yeah, there is a redesigned app. That stuff is always funny because there's always people out there who, like, if you change the font on something, you know, there's a certain type of fantasy manager is just going to rage. But I have found it really useful. I think it looks good. So there's a new app out there for you. We're now deep into obviously draft season. So we are podcasting every day of the week, the Yahoo Fantasy Forecast. That's been going on. We started up a newsletter. So there's a lot of ways to receive our content now. The newsletter is being written by myself and Scott Pianowski. That's been really fun. So, yeah, and obviously we have a full draft kit for you on Yahoo Sports.
Yeah, and then Fantasy Football Live then, too. That's coming back, right?
Fantasy Football Live is going to be Thursdays and Sundays this year. They're getting so much work out of me this season. It's absolutely ridiculous.
You're going to wring you dry, and you're not going to have anything left for the Bears season. I mean, we got to have a little bit of juice for the Caleb Williams rookie campaign.
That's okay. I'll tune into the Bears season when it's January and we're in playoff mode.
All right. So realistic expectation here, Andy, because Gene and I were talking about this earlier, and I don't want to overreact to the preseason. Like you said, Bears fans have a tendency to do that. Just beat Green Bay. Is that a fair expectation? Just beat Green Bay.
Yeah, let's try splitting with Green Bay.
I take a split.
Okay, like with that, let's just get the home and home thing down with Green Bay. That would be fine. I think they're both exciting teams. I think the Lions are an exciting team. I think that, you know, I think the Vikings are a quarterback away from being a really dynamic team. The division has rarely been this good, and they're all those teams have some key pieces that are really, really young. So it seems like, you know, the NFC North could be really frisky for a while.
Andy Barron's Yahoo Fantasy. We're going to be reading and listening, just taking in a lot of your work here as we're cramming. Andy, thanks so much for the time today.
It's a pleasure talking to you guys again. Let's do it again soon.
You got it, buddy. We'll do it for sure. Andy Barron's at Yahoo Fantasy joining us here to give you some fantasy advice. Fantasy Friday, we're just talking fantasy football today. Get the first draft out of the way last night, Gino, and I felt like Nicolas Cage in that the meme that goes around where the wind is blowing through his hair. He's taking his first breath of fresh air out of jail or whatever he was from that movie. All I could think that was how I felt last night. I'm like, oh, we're back. We're so back. We are so back. Love it. And I appreciate Andy giving us some time and setting us straight.
Andy's the best. And, gosh, gotta check him out, and we're gonna have him, and we're gonna work out the details,
through the season.
Yeah,
love that, and he's very gracious with his time to join us here on the Fan. Happy Hour is on the way next in the sports bar. We got a couple of things to get to. Oh, we saw a little bit of breaking news on a former Buffalo Bill that just crossed my feet. I don't know if you saw that or not.
No. Okay.
We'll get into that. Okay. But more than anything, want to get you ready for the preseason finale. Brandon Bean speaking to the guys at One Bills Live today. We'll get into all of that and more next with Happy Hour. Your calls are welcome at 866-4326-585-866-4FAN.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan, Rochester.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.